Nation, we're reaching you live from Etimian Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. Lagos, good morning to you. Remember that later this morning we'll be playing our game. Yeah, 5 and 7 is coming up at the other side of the hour. You need to watch out for that one. About 3 or 4 people will be winning 5,000 naira each on the 5 and 7 game show. Coming up after the break. In the meantime, this morning, we have decided to focus on security and security alone. In fact, this week on the Crossfire, our focus is on security and security alone. This week on the Crossfire, you should know that Nigeria's future reportedly uncertain right now as the country keeps experiencing internal security or insecurity, if you like. The condition has further deteriorated since the beginning of the year as bandits threatened to abduct the president openly. Remember that situation. The media research and data analytics organization datafight.com some 10 days ago, to be very specific, November 4, datafight.com said, according to the 2022 third quarter media reported killings data published by SPM Intelligence on November 1, a total of 1,718 deaths were reported in 3 months. That is between July and September this year alone. A breakdown of the media reported deaths by state shows that the 36 states and the Federal Capital Territory FCT, except for Akwa Ibom, recorded at least an incident of killing in the quarter under review. At least an incident. Now, let's go to the major crux of our conversation this morning, which is, of course, insecurity that is beginning to rear its ugly, very, very ugly head, especially on the Lagos Ibadan Expressway. You know, Lagos Ibadan Expressway starts at Bega in Lagos and ends at Iwo Road in Ibadan. That particular stretch of road is about 120 kilometers, you know, in total length. The road lies between Oyo, Ogun, and Lagos State. So you can say that the road, you know, spans across 3 states, and it's one of the busiest roads in the country. You can also say that it's the gateway for travelers from most parts of the country to access Lagos, the former capital of Nigeria. However, several attacks have been recorded along the expressway only this year alone. And for all intents and purposes, I personally haven't heard so much from the government, especially the central government. I can tell you authoritatively that you know, gunmen along this road, they usually dress in military uniform. They use the opportunity to abduct travelers. In January this year, no fewer than 2 cases of kidnapping were recorded along that road. The abductors during one of the operations in January at Abule Onigari, they killed a commercial driver identified as Oluwatosin Aruajoye. Also, on Saturday, January 8th, they abducted 5 passengers while another person, Ibrahim Tiamiyu, was shot in the thigh on Saturday, January 8th. An actress, Binkpe, and her daughter escaped from being kidnapped at the same location on Sunday, January 9. The incident attacks and abductions on the road in January this year attracted the attention of security agencies in Mowe, to be very precise, and they moved to that area. This brought some sense of relief to travelers flying that road. Kidnappers, they changed location, they abducted a UI professor, they abducted Oyo Monarch's daughter. They've done quite a number of things in that axis much lately. I'm going to be speaking with the security expert, to be very precise. I'm talking about Mike Ejiofor, former DSS director and the chairman and CEO of Apex Safety and Security Consultant in Abuja here. He joins me via the telephone, in Abuja rather. He joins me via the telephone. Mr. Ejiofor, good morning to you and thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you and good morning.
And thank you for giving us your time. I know that you have a busy morning, but let's quickly delve into it. I'm sure you must have been following up on trends on Lagos Ibadan Expressway. What do you think could be brewing? What can you tell us exactly?
Well, it's a very disturbing situation. With the statistics you've reeled out, you know, it gives everybody cause for concern and worry. You recall that some time ago, intelligence observed by the released by the State Security Service indicated that these bandits, I call them, are moving down south.
That's right.
And it's been established that some of these people are foreigners without profiling.
Hmm.
Foreigners operating within the country.
Hmm.
But the problem is, there is no foreigner, no matter how intelligent, how vast you are, that can operate without the locals.
Hmm.
So for each of these incidents, whether it's in the northeast, north central, northwest, they operate with locals.
Hmm.
And to some extent, even operate with some unpatriotic security agents.
Hmm.
So it's quite disturbing. And I think one of the reasons, like you asked, why the increase in speed is that apart from the fact that these people have not defined what they want to achieve, you know, the local collaborators might be joining them because of the harsh economic times. You know, times are really hard. Mm-hmm. People are not making ends meet. And they look at kidnapping as one of the most lucrative ventures,
right,
within which you just get money quickly and do whatever you want to do.
Hmm.
Besides, you know, the political activities coming up now, some of these bandits, you know, who think they are opposed to government,
right,
feel disgruntled,
right,
intend to escalate this and make government unpopular.
Hmm.
My take on this is that while not crying over the spilled milk, we should try as much as possible to be conscious of our environment, assist the police, and I'm happy with what the security agents in Ogun, Oyo,
right,
Lagos are
right,
doing.
Right.
It gives a real, it's reassuring that the two commissioners of police have met, trying to find solutions to do this. The security advisor to the governor of Oyo State also indicated the fact that these incidents will be reduced with intensive patrol of
right,
the area.
Right.
So I believe that the sustained efforts of our security agencies will put this into a check.
Mm.
And if you look at the Western Security Network, the Aboteco,
right,
and continue to use the Ondo model, you know, because, you know, Ondo was living on edge. There were palpable fear, you know, apprehension before the Aboteco in Ondo State.
Right.
Rose to the occasion. So I believe that there must be collaboration between the security agencies and the local security network, who are very used to the place, to go to the bush and combat these people. And on the part of the citizen, they must be very cautious too and conscious of their environment. People driving without looking back, you know, not observing some precautionary measures, like when you get to, because they normally operate within the area you have bad spots. You know, when you slow down, they can come up and
attack.
When you are getting to bad spots, you must
right,
be very, very careful, be conscious of the environment. But actually, really speaking, this development is worrisome. But I believe that with the measures being put in place by government, it has to be put on check, especially as we are approaching
the U-tide. Right.
You know, crime goes up during the festive season like Christmas and New Year. So people have to be very careful if you must travel.
I'm glad that you've touched on virtually all the, you know, talking point areas, but I'm also, you know, I'm tempted to go back to what you mentioned about what the police in the three states have done. I passed through that axis regularly, and I can tell you that I've seen patrol vans everywhere, the military, the police, the Amoteco, and you could see them. You could see their vans, you know, crawling around that axis. But Mr. Mike Ejiofor, you're an expert. Is patrolling the highway enough to dissuade these criminals, you know, from launching an attack on commuters? Is that the best we can do to tell them that, look, this place is going to be very uncomfortable for you?
Well, there's no one measure that is complete or that can solve all the problems. But the regular patrol for now is a deterrent, you know, but it cannot be in all the spots at the same time. But the criminals too are very observant. They are organized. If they see that there's a patrol, it becomes very difficult for them to operate. I think it was last week that I heard on the news too, where some people were jubilating and happy that they were saved by the military during the patrol.
That's right.
Even though one person was shot.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So it will serve as a deterrent. They will also be careful to know that.
Shouldn't we enter the forest and chase them out and root them out? Just the way, you know, this was exactly what happened in some other parts of the country, you know, where patrols were done and all, and these people get emboldened day by day until they are too strong, you know, for patrol. They we're now combing the bushes and the forest to go after them. Now, this is the starting point of such a similar monster as well. Should we at this point say, look, we can't stop at patrol. We need to enter. We need to comb those forests on Lagos Ibadan and go and root them out there before they map out the entire area and be able to evade and run for cover?
Yeah, that's what I said. They need the collaboration of the locals. That's the Western Security Network, the Amoteco.
That's right.
To comb the area with the military. And look at that. I think intelligence will also be provided. If you look at the way these people are resident, or, you know, not where they are located, not where they are resident, because they must have camps within that area.
That's right.
Like what happened in the Southeast Imo and Anambra. Locating their hideouts and raiding them. We also had the issues in the Northwest, where the Air Force is now going about raiding these and bombing their locations. So we need to identify their locations and be able to distinguish or segregate, if you like, you know, between the locals and these foreigners who are operating within the area. Once that is done, I think we'll be able to achieve some results.
Mr. Jaffa, before I let you go, what is the role of the central government in all of these? I mean, I admire the effort, you know, being put in by the commissioners of police in the three states, the governors and the assistant they've been able to muster together in this short period of time. But what do you think could be the role of the central government in all of this?
Well, the role of central government is that, first of all, the primary purpose of government, and as enshrined in our constitution, is the welfare and security of the people. You had one at time, I was not restricting my discussion to only about the expressway. I'm talking of general, as this festive period is coming up, the police and other security agencies need to have joint patrol. They need to also look at how they can frustrate these people from operating. The Air Force, like I said, is busy bombarding the Northwest, the hideouts of the bandits. And I think with that, we'll be able to make some significant process. You know, it's not a thing that will just come and go one day.
Right.
But we'll continue to try with the assistance too of the citizens who cannot leave this to the police or the security agencies. These people have friends. They have relations. If you say you are afraid, you don't want to give any information about them, well, you wait until it happens to you. Then you know that you have a responsibility to assist our security agencies to succeed.
Indeed. You mentioned something earlier while you were talking about, you know, the alert earlier raised by the DSS, security alert raised by DSS of the movement of these bandits and terrorists, you know, down south and down to other parts of the country, especially during the, you know, heat of the bombardment in the north central and northeast and northwest as well. Could we have done anything to have prevented them from moving southwards? Is there something that we could have avoided?
There's little or nothing we can do than to provide intelligence. If you remember that when they were overwhelmed in the northeast, they moved to the northwest and north central.
That's right.
Now the heat is on them in the north central. And so the tendency for them to is to move down south. You recall that only last month, the U.S. government raised an advisory alert, if you will.
That's right.
You know, on the need for people to be conscious.
Right.
So,
right.
And asking their citizens, although I don't completely agree the way it was handled, but it has raised our consciousness now, you know, and like within that last month, when the American government raised that alert.
Right.
You know, some people saw a group of motorcycles in Abuja here. I raised the alarm, and people were calling until it was clear that one cyclist who died was being buried by the members. So one way, it has raised our consciousness.
That's
and
right.
That is what it should be.
Right.
We must be conscious of our environment. We must be conscious of what's going on and see the way we can assist the situation. We cannot leave... Excuse me, you cannot leave all this to the security agencies alone.
Right. Mr. Michael Jaffo, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning despite your busy schedule.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service to the country. Appreciate you a lot. There you go, Lagos. Michael Jaffo, former DSS director, joining us on the show this morning to talk about the happenings, the security situation on Lagos Ibadan Express. Way is the chairman and CEO of Apex Safety and Security Consultants Limited. Mikey Jaffo, thank you so much for joining us. We would be stepping aside now for our first break this hour, but if I may chip in one or two calls, that'd be nice. That'd be really, really nice, especially for those who buy that axis. I would love to hear your thought on your feeling when you apply that axis now. Have you changed your routes now? Would you prefer you go via the train as against going, you know, by road? What has changed in your plans of commuting along that axis? Let's take a few calls. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sheriff. Morning to you.
Oh, yeah. That buy on the line.
Welcome.
Yeah. Sincerely, Mr. Sherry, it's quite worrisome. Very, very worrisome.
It is. It
okay?
is.
And my fear and dismay is that how are these, our security agents have allowed this to have permitted to this extent, especially in this, because, I'm a regular, pliers of this road. You know, we could see that, from Mowe down, Ishagamo axis, Ogeria and all that, all these places are more or less a kind of 247. A lively environment, okay? So you can only have a little portion, you know, from that after we get down to, before we get to challenge and things like that, you know,
right.
In the Ibadan. And you see all these security vehicles being parked at the strategic places. So I really don't understand, to what extent, what are the security architecture strategies, that have been putting in place in all this way. Are they just there just to sightsee or things like that? That's number one. Then number two, what is the functions now of these are local security networks like Amoteku, even the OPC? All these people can synergize, with the the regular security,
the police,
men that we have.
Right.
So I don't. It's quite disturbing. We have OPC, we have Amoteku here.
It's quite disturbing. Thank you so much for your thought. I get your fear and. It's valid. Your fears are valid, really. It's disturbing. But one thing I do know is that if there is a security strategy, they can't come. You would see that I did not even ask Mike Joe for, what could be the most potent security strategy, because it's a strategy. It shouldn't be revealed. He knows what can be done. He knows what perhaps the most likely strategy that, you know, the security people would employ, but we can't be talking about those strategies on the radio. So, yeah, the main reason why we're doing this is for awareness purposes. And if you listen to that interview, that short interview, pretty much you know that there's a lot of emphasis on citizens' action as well, because citizens' inaction is dangerous. So, yeah, that's the point, you know, for citizens to take action. If you see something, say something. There are security patrols, there are vans everywhere on that route now. So you can always call attention of these security guys to whatever it is that is developing in your area, especially if you stay around that area or you use that area a lot. Let's take a break. I'll be back, Lagos.
We feed you with the right information,
the right topic of interest,
and the right conversation.
I heard the Minister for Information, and he was trying to rationalize why the NLC should not go on strike now.
So one of the challenges at Africa, there's a lot of poverty and there's a lot of illiteracy.
Let's talk
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Show in football. 32 countries all fighting to lift the ultimate trophy